We all here in this room know how important social media is, but we know that in government it's often more difficult than it should be to get these projects off the ground. The infrastructure is time-intensive. Generating support and getting champions is difficult. And because this is new and sort of alien territory and new territory, I guess, often there are conflicts between the PR and the legal and IT departments who's supposed to be taking charge, and things sort of get slowed down more than they should be, which is unfortunate because we know how important social media is for making government more efficient, making it faster, finding out what the public wants, and even what our own staff wants, getting those ideas together in one place. It's also crucial for attracting younger workers, keeping them in their jobs. They use it in their private life. They expect to use it in their work life. And we know that social media is what government should be using in the 21st century. We want to be able to provide that to people. So that brings us to us, the Center for New Media and Citizen Engagement. We're a part of GSA. Our target audience, again, is you guys. We're here to help you make social media and citizen engagement tools work, to take care of the hassles, the legal hassles, the infrastructure hassles, technology hassles, make things easier and more desirable for people to want to talk with government and vice versa. We want to create partnerships and teams. If there's someone at that table and someone at that table who work in a similar way, we want to help create a community so these groups can work in tandem and create some dynamite projects, pool resources, create best practices so everyone can benefit from our collective knowledge, and just use these tools to make a difference in the population. So we're just very, very happy to be here right now. You can just go to the last one. And we're thrilled to have your participation. We're going to be giving a couple very quick presentations about some of our initiatives, and just thank you very much. And next is Dan Muntz.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, everybody. I'm Dan Muntz at the Center, and I'm going to try to... I did it. I'm going to try to breeze through the story of the IdeaScale Open Government Dialogue Tool Implementation, long title, hopefully a short talk. That's a story that begins with the Open Government Directive, which asked agencies to do a number of things. Those were, as you know, to create an open government plan, to do that in a way that was actually focused on getting input from citizens and focused on what they wanted to see in that plan, and frankly, do it really, really fast. And so that was the context in which we're proud to say OMB turned to GSA for a solution for that engagement that could be set up quickly, that was really scalable across agencies, and that would be affordable. And so what we said was, this actually seems like an opportunity to make engagement easier. And so I'm going to try to talk very, very quickly about what we did to make that happen. We set up this site that you're probably familiar with for 22 agencies, plus the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. It's got a lot of the features that you're used to seeing in platforms like this. We addressed a host of legal and policy issues, things like privacy, IT security, Paperwork Reduction Act clearance is important. Cookie waiver for the use of persistent cookies so the site could remember visitors when they came back, and a terms of service that's Fed-friendly, and that's something Andrea's going to talk about in a second. We worked on building community because that's really important to support, particularly a lot of agencies who hadn't engaged in this way before. We trained over 100 people to moderate online dialogues, either in person or via webinar. We helped stand up moderation teams at each agency, and ultimately built that into a 130-plus member listserv that could share best practices, compare notes during the engagement, and talk about what was working and what wasn't. And we're currently doing an after-action review to learn about what we did and what we could do better. Another thing I'm really excited about is that throughout the whole process of standing up this tool, we did a lot of work looking at 508 and accessibility, usability testing, as well as some of the policy compliance things I talked about. And working with IdeaScale, working with the vendor, we actually baked that functionality into the platform. So now anyone who goes to ideascale.com, signs up, and looks at the back end sees a checkbox. It looks just like that, that says enable government compliance. And that triggers 508 compliance, PRA compliance, and all those things that you need to get to action quickly with a platform like this. We've shared best practices. Keep an eye on webcontent.gov. We've put up things like legal and policy resources, training materials, outreach tools, and we've tried to share back anything we developed or anything we generated over the course of standing up this tool. And I'm proud to say that I think the thing we're all most proud of is not solely the work we did, but the fact that by taking all of this stuff off of the plate of agencies, we enable them to create some amazing innovations, like the OpenGov tracker that was just talked about. So That's sort of what we did. What we'd like you to do really is tell us how we can help. And we hope that you'll let us know that. And thanks so much. Here's Andrea.
Hi, everyone. I'm Andrea Sigrets, and I'm really excited to be here today. I'm going to be talking about terms of service. There we go. What are the amended terms of service agreements? They are agreements the GSA and other agencies have negotiated with social media providers that allow federal agencies to use these vendors' free tools. Back in 2009, negotiations started because federal agencies were frustrated that they couldn't use social media tools because the standard terms of service contain legal provisions that by law federal agencies couldn't agree to. The amended terms of service take care of these legal issues. The terms of service process saves time for both the vendors and federal agencies. It saves time for the vendors because they're not fielding similar questions from agencies and dealing with multiple legal departments. The agencies don't have to waste time and resources negotiating with all these vendors. The free social media tools that have these amended terms of service can be found on the social media portion of apps.gov. Right now, there are 34 free tools on the site. You might be wondering, how can you use these tools? When you determine you have a need, you want to go to the social media portion of apps.gov. When you find a tool that you want to use, you'll just click on the enroll button. This will send an email to your agency's point of contact. Your point of contact will let you know if your agency has already signed a terms of service with that particular vendor and how to proceed. How can you find out who your agency's point of contact is? We have compiled a list of point of contacts for the cabinet-level agencies and independent agencies with their contact information on the Web Content Manager's form. There is also a link on the social media portion of apps.gov, which I've highlighted. If you're a sub-agency within a cabinet department, you should work with the point of contact at your parent agency because these agreements are typically designed and signed for the entire department. What did the point of contacts do? Mainly, they work with the legal counsel at their agency to sign these terms of service agreements. No single agency has government-wide authority to sign these agreements on behalf of other agencies, so each agency needs to sign their own terms of service. They also field questions from colleagues, and once the terms of service is signed, the points of contact follow these vendor-specific instructions that are on the Web Content Manager's forum site to help set up a new instance of your tool. What if there's an app that you'd like to use that's not on apps.gov? You can talk to your point of contact and see if that's something your agency wants to pursue. If your agency wants to take the lead in negotiating a federal-friendly agreement with the vendor, we have developed a model agreement for you to use. It can be found at this site, gousa.gov/LAM. This model agreement is the product of more than 24 previous negotiations with vendors. We're always trying to add new free social media tools to apps.gov. Right now, we are working with these vendors and hope to have them up on apps.gov soon. Oops. Feel free to contact me with any questions about the terms of service process. If I don't have the answer, I will find it for you. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Tiffany Smith, and I am currently on detail from the U.S. Department of State's Office of E-Diplomacy to GSA. I am so excited about the project that I'm working on at GSA, and I hope you'll be excited, too, because I think it gives us a new chance to work better together.
Fingers crossed that I will figure this out.
Yes. Okay. The federal government includes just under 3 million employees and contractors, but sometimes it can feel a little lonely at your desk. Maybe not snowpocalypse lonely, but lonely all the same. So interagency teams have trouble finding a suitable place to collaborate, and small agencies often don't have any collaboration space at all. Everyday problems like finding meeting times for groups or having remote access to your work can seem insurmountable. And so, with the flowering buds of spring, the snow melts away, and we ask questions like, how do I find other people doing similar work to me? Or, has someone solved this problem I'm having? Or even, where's the link to that great terms of service site again? So, whether you're in an agency and you're just in a tiny group working on 508 compliance or usability or plain language, there are other people like you. And that's one of the things that's so fantastic about the Web Management Conference, is that you actually get to meet those people. But being able to build those relationships and keep them throughout the year and still interact with everyone is the challenge that we're trying to meet. And so the questions about, you know, the everyday problems are really good ones. So, to help you answer these questions, There's a new project in development. It's called FedSpace. FedSpace will be a social media-enabled collaborative intranet for the federal government. This will provide sort of a broader and yet secure collaboration options for everyone who needs them. There'll be an integrated suite of tools that will make it easier for employees to connect to others and share knowledge across the federal enterprise. These are the useful Web 2.0 services we've come to depend on to get our work done. There'll be tools for teams to have conversations and share authoring, and a central place to find information across the federal workforce. We all are familiar, I hope, at this point with wikis and blogs and social bookmarks. If you don't know, ask your neighbor. I'm sure they do. And so what the opportunity here is kind of to actually use those inside the federal enterprise and actually talk to each other with them. So these are our goals. Together, we can use FedSpace to improve business processes that already exist, build effective relationships and collaborations across the federal government, and ultimately drive innovation and discovery in the 21st century. We plan to make FedSpace available to you in fall 2010. In the meantime, we look forward to hearing your ideas, and we can't wait to work better together. Thank you very much.
Hello, guys. Good morning. I'm Leilani Martinez, another member of the Center for New Media. This is the biggest challenge. Let's see. And I ruined the moment. Okay, here we go. Well, I want to talk to you guys briefly in 4 minutes about the work that we're currently doing to make your lives much easier. As you start or continue to integrate social media into the work that you do, if there are four words that I want you to remember after my four-minute talk today, is social media made easy. And thank you, USA.gov, for the inspiration, because at the end of the day, that's what this project is all about. Come on. There you go. As we all know, government still faces many challenges and barriers when using social media tools. I think we've all felt at some point or another like we cannot move forward. In 2008, the Social Media Subcouncil wrote a white paper on the same topic, titled Social Media and the Federal Government, Perceived and Real Barriers and Potential Solutions. Some of these barriers are related to terms of service, privacy, and security, among many other things. To address some of these concerns, the Center for New Media Citizen Engagement has been working on a platform for agencies that will let them use social media legally, quickly, and compliantly. We want to help break those barriers, and we want to make it easy. So what's the solution? It's called the Citizen Engagement Platform. Okay, this is killing me. Yes, we're starting to see the light. The Citizen Engagement Platform is a secure software as a service storefront that will expand on the work of apps.gov. So how does it work? Here's a scoop. GSA will do all the legwork to ensure that the tools available through the Citizen Engagement Platform are compatible with federal laws and policies, including Section 508. Darryl, not yet. That way you know that if you're in need of a social media tool, you can just get into the platform and deploy the tool that you need without having to worry about all the policy issues. We're taking care of those for you. So you can count on us to do the compliance and infrastructure work, and that way you'll have more time to work on the proposal. There you go. getting your content and engagement strategy in place is key, as you all know. An interesting thing to highlight is that all the tools on the platform are open source. So you can be part of this open source community if you choose to do so by participating and making a contribution there too. To start, we will be offering a blog, and that will be WordPress. Other tools will follow, including wikis and groups and forums. So if you're interested in being part, this is open sign, next one. So if you're interested in being part of this effort, this is your chance. Let's start a movement here. We're looking for testers to volunteer. In June, we will be launching a beta version so we can get some initial feedback and improve the platform. So be part of this, and I know Gwen will give you some contact information. So social media made easy starts here now with the Citizen Engagement Platform. Help us make this happen. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bev Godwin, and I'm delighted to be here and see such a big crowd. I know years ago when we started this conference, we were in government space. We graduated to university space, and now we're in a real hotel. So we're moving on. I want to tell you about two products, one that's ready now for you to use and one that will soon be ready. And as Martha Johnson said during her Skype talk, we are all about partnering for government-wide solutions. So the first one I want to talk about is a product ready for use. It's a .gov URL shortener, which you can find at go.usa.gov. Anyone with a .gov or .mil email address can use it to shorten government URLs. It's still in beta, but we already have over 1,000 users across government who, as you can see by these stats, have been shortening lots of popular URLs. We created go.usa.gov for three reasons. First, so you can maintain the official government brand when you shorten URLs for Twitter, Facebook, text messages, or wherever you have character limitations. People recognize .gov URLs as official sources of information. So having a URL shortener that maintains that .gov provides the authenticity of official government information, and our users can tell it's government information before they click. Secondly, long-term viability. We know this URL shortener will be around. If you use something like Bitly or TinyURL, you're not always sure how long some of these new companies will be around. And third, government owns the data, and it allows us to gather data from across government, just as the IdeaScale project did. The more the .gov URL shortener is used, the more valuable this data becomes. Like other tools we've been working on, this is open source, built in Drupal, free, and we're looking forward to enhancing it with the help of the developer community. If you want to learn more, tomorrow there'll be an unconference session that Russell O'Neill and Michelle Chronister from GSA will be leading. Next, I want to talk about challenges and prizes. And this product's not ready yet, but will soon be. Many of you may have seen the March 8th, 2010 memo from OMB on challenges and prizes. You can find it on webcontent.gov. But it encourages increased use across government of challenges and prizes to develop new tools and approaches to improve open government and innovation. And OMB has asked GSA to provide a web-based platform as one option for agencies to run challenges. What are we talking about when we talk about challenges? You heard Amanda Emick from USDA describe their apps for healthy kids. A challenge in the broad sense is a seeker, in this case government, identifying a particular problem and inviting potential solvers to suggest, collaborate, and deliver on solutions. You may run challenges for different reasons. Sometimes it's to get new ideas. Sometimes you might want a new product or an improved product. You may want to improve a process. You may want to increase participation, such as the XPRIZE challenge for robotics, which the real goal was to increase kids' use of math and science. Or you may want a new or strengthened network or community. There are many potential benefits of government of looking at using challenges as yet another way for us to get results. By putting forth a challenge, the government can identify the goal without first choosing the approach or the team most likely to succeed. You all know that when we do procurements or we let out grants through our discretionary grant programs, you're reading something in a proposal that is what somebody says they're going to do, and you're putting forth the money assuming they're going to do it. In this, you aren't paying until you get the results, so you're only paying for performance. You're also likely to get better solutions as you attract new entrants and more diverse entrants, rather than just the normal companies we do business with through procurement or the normal grantees we use through our discretionary grant programs. Many new people enter into challenges. Daryl, can you go back? The research on the private sector use of challenges shows that often an intractable problem is solved by somebody in a different field than has been trying to solve it for years. So getting new entrants is really important. Often these challenges stimulate private sector investment well beyond the cost of the prize. And it gives government a chance to motivate, to inspire, and to guide as we capture the public's imagination and change the public's perception of what is possible. There are many famous private sector examples of use of challenges. Back in 1927, a challenge was put forth for the first flight across the Atlantic Ocean. It was not only won by Charles Lindbergh, it gave a boost to the airline industry. Much more recently, the Netflix Prize was put forth for a better algorithm to improve the prediction of how much someone will love a movie based on their past preferences. It took several years to come up with a winner, but somebody from AT&T won that prize. A team of people won it. The XPRIZE challenge that Google has partnered with XPRIZE to build a private manned space rocket to try to boost the space travel industry like the airline industry was boosted by Charles Lindbergh. But can this be done in government? Actually, there are a lot of government examples, and I want to show you a few. We have NASA, who has a lot of experience running challenges and prizes, and they've used primarily a platform called InnoCentive, which comes with a solver community of over 230,000 scientists. They've also used another platform called TopCoder, which has a community of developers and designers. But they have done various challenges for a better astronaut glove, for general aviation technology. They partnered with Northrop Grumman for a lunar leader challenge, and they've done a space elevator challenge. We're not all space scientists or rocket engineers, but there are many other examples in government. The Department of Education is using a platform called VenCore, and they call it an innovation challenge platform. It's at innovation.ed.gov. And they put on this platform a variety of challenges around how to improve the development and evaluation of teachers and leaders, another one on how to use data to improve student achievement, another one on how to turn around low-performing schools. Department of Education has also opened up this platform so other partners can offer challenges that are related to improving education. And IBM has posted two challenges where to the winners they'll provide technical service grants for better approaches to change management and to improving literacy. You heard about the Apps for Healthy Kids challenge that USDA is doing. Amanda Emick was talking about that. And I believe there were $60,000 in cash prizes in that. There is $60,000 in cash prizes. Many agencies have done video contests. I think EPA was the first. HHS and state have also done it. At GSA, we recently did one inviting the public to do videos on how USA.gov is useful in their daily lives. We got 30 submissions on YouTube and just recently picked a winner. There are more government examples that I mentioned here: defense, energy, transportation, OMB, USAID. So you're wondering if you can do this. In the March 8th memo, it lays out the potential legal authorities your agency may have. So you should work with your lawyers, talk to your lawyers about what authorities you have. Some agencies, a handful, have explicit prize authority, but there are many other ways you can do this, whether it's grants and cooperative agreements, necessary expense doctrine, procurement authority, et cetera. And those are all listed in that memo with examples of how agencies have used these authorities. Are you ready? There's a lot to think about before you do a challenge, a lot of planning, a lot of questions, too much to go into in my 4 minutes here. So Amanda Emick and I are doing an unconference session tomorrow morning at 10. If you want to learn more about challenges or if you want to tell others about what challenges you're doing in your agency or ones you're planning. So the next steps is encourage experimentation with prizes and challenges. There's lots of money in the government that goes out through procurement and traditional grant methods. Think about ways you could use these methods. Check your open government plans. We've read through all of them, and many agencies are planning to use challenges and prizes. So if you haven't read your agency's plan, take a look there. Use the March 8th memo to talk to your lawyers to see what you do have the authority to do and learn from those who have done this before. Help is on the way. Again, the March 8th memo is a great resource. The White House Office of Science and Technology Policy is very interested in this area, and they're pulling together a leadership group that is meeting on April 30th of people from agencies ready to move forward on this and to teach all agencies. And GSA in the March 8th memo was given three tasks. And the first one is to set up a challenge platform by July. We are doing that. The approach we took was pretty unique. We went out, we have some eGov money, but we looked at whether it would be enough to do this over many years to come and decided to go out with a request for information for a no-cost platform and see what came back. We sort of got criticized in the media, who would give the government a no-cost platform. I'm proud to say we got 8 submissions. 7 were real. One was to say, we don't have anything for free. But we have some good products. But the other ones were all legitimate offers, and we have been analyzing them, and I believe we will make an announcement this week of which one we've selected. And so that we will be setting up for your use by July. We also will be providing, as we do, through Web Manager University and other sources, best practices, guides, and training. And the other thing it has asked us to do, which we will do by the fall, is easier contract vehicles so that in addition to the one platform we're setting up, you can use these other platforms that are out there, these other solver communities, and the consultation often necessary to help you define your challenge, define your prize, set up and run the challenge, and do the post-evaluation. Because depending on what your challenge is, there are some platforms out there, like I said, like Innocentive Top Coder that come with their own solver community, and if that's the community you want to get out to, those are good choices. And most of these, almost all of these companies are not on typical GSA and other schedules, and so we're looking at how we can make it easier for all agencies to procure these. Thanks so much.
I can wear somebody else's glasses. No, I can't. Wow, is my response. My name is Gwen Costin, and I joined GSA in February to help Bev direct the Center for New Media and Citizen Engagement, and I'm really glad to be here, and I'm really glad to be working on this project right now. One of the things I want to say to you is easy, easy, easy. Now, when was the last time you heard that at a government conference? We all know it's not really as easy as we hope it is, but what we're trying to do is work with you to help solve some of these problems that have been identified over the past year or so. What I want to do, first of all, is to start up with summing up. What's on the schedule moving forward? Right now, we talked about the dialogues and the idea scale. That's done. The URL shortener is available now. We have a funkiness with the thing. So the challenge, in June, we're going to have the blog platform together, the Center for Citizen Engagement platform. And then in July, we'll have the challenges together. In the fall, we'll have Fed Space, and we're going to have the acquisition strategy. And the next steps really are you decide. And I really want to focus on your input in making this happening. So you're excited, we're excited, you want blogs, you want a URL shortener, you're using the terms of services, and all these things are there to support your success in implementing the Trinity. The Trinity, of course, being transparency, participation, and collaboration. So what next? You want to be part of the superhero team. I know that. And so what I'm asking for you to do is take a look at your skill set. We're looking for detailed leads. As you can see on here, we have people from NASA. We have people from CDC. Janice Nall is working with us right now, as well as Tiffany from State Department. There's opportunities for coders, for project managers, for writers, for people who want to get some of the stuff in their for their agency together. You learn from us. You take it back to your agency. We spread the good word. It's an awesome thing. What else? It doesn't really matter the type of superhero you are. You want a blog? I wanted to follow up with the concept of being one of our initial beta testers. We're really excited about that. And then finally, there's going to be some on-conference sessions really supporting the work that we're doing. No matter what kind of superhero you are, we want you to be able to support the work that you're doing. And as you can see, this is a picture from last year's conference where some of you were still there, and we were just really trying to peel away some of the areas of these onions. So I want to leave you with following us on Twitter, our new Twitter handle, which is @GovNewMedia. We launched that yesterday. Please follow us. I expect to see about 25 to 30 more followers by the time I sit down. Now that was easy. Thank you so much.